chapter. He was in bliss of Shamananda. But we're going to do text 20, which was actually his assigned verse, chapter 9. Sakadachit Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 9, Text 20. Markandeya Rishi sees the illusory potency. Sakadachit Pramans Tasmin.
Sakadachit Pramans Tasmin.
Vidivya Kakudivijaha. Nyagrodha potam dadrishe. Pala palava shobitam. Sakadachit brahmans tasmin. Ritivya kakudivijaha. Nyagrodha potam drish dadrishe. Pala palava shobitam.
Kadachit,
on one occasion,
Brahman,
while wandering,
Tasmin,
in that water,
Prithivya,
of earth,
Kakudi,
upon a raised place,
Dvija,
the Brahmana,
Nyagroha
Potam, a young banyan tree.
Dadrishe
saw.
Pala
with fruits.
Palava
and blossoms.
Shobitam
decorated. Translation. Once, while wandering in the water, the Brahmana Markandeya discovered a small island upon which stood a young banyan tree bearing blossoms and fruits. So just to be due to old age and everyone losing their memory, we're going to read the whole chapter. It takes only about 8 minutes. Just to give us a full concept of how incredible Bhagavatam is and how incredible Markandeya Rishi is and the Lord's illusory potency. So a little recap.
Incredible? You shouldn't believe it.
Say what?
Incredible, like we don't believe it.
Like we don't believe it, yeah. Okay, here we go. Sudha Goswami said, "The Supreme Lord Narayan, the friend of Nada, was satisfied by the proper glorification offered by the intelligent sage Markandeya. Thus the Lord addressed that excellent descendant of Bhrigu. The Supreme Personality of God has said, 'My dear Markandeya, you are indeed the best of all learned brahmanas. You have perfected your life by practicing fixed meditation upon the Supreme Soul, as well by focusing upon me, your undeviating devotional service, your austerities, your study of the Vedas, and your strict adherence to regulative principles. We are perfectly satisfied with your practice of lifelong celibacy. Please choose whatever benediction you desire, since I can grant your wish. May you enjoy all good fortune,' the sage said. 'O Lord of Lords, all glories to you. O Lord Achyuta, you remove all distress to the devotees who surrender unto you. That you have allowed me to see you is all the benediction I want. Such demigods as Lord Brahma achieve their exalted position simply by seeing your beautiful lotus feet after their minds had become mature in yoga practice. And now, my Lord, you have personally appeared before me. O lotus-eyed Lord, O crest jewel of renowned personalities, although I am satisfied simply by seeing you, I do wish to see your illusory potency, by whose influence the entire world, together with its ruling demigods, considers reality to be materially variegated.' Sudha Goswami said, 'O wise Shanaka, thus satisfied by Markandeya's praise and worship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiling, replied, "So be it," and then departed for his hermitage at Badrikashrama. Thinking always of his desire to see the Lord's illusory energy, the sage remained in his ashram, meditating constantly upon the Lord within fire, the sun, the moon, water, the earth, air, lightning, and his own heart, and worshiping him with paraphernalia conceived in his mind. But sometimes, overwhelmed by waves of love for the Lord, Markandeya would forget to perform his regular worship. O Brahmana Shanaka, best of the Bhrigus, one day, while Markandeya was performing his evening worship on the bank of the Pushpabhadra, a great wind suddenly arose. That wind created a terrible sound and brought in its wake fearsome clouds that were accompanied by lightning and roaring thunder, and that poured down on all sides torrents of rain as heavy as wagon wheels. Then the four great oceans appeared on all sides, swallowing up the surface of the earth with their wind-tossed waves. In these oceans were terrible sea monsters, fearful whirlpools, and ominous rumblings. The sage saw all the inhabitants of the universe, including himself, tormented within and without by the harsh winds, the bolts of lightning, and the great waves rising beyond the sky. As the whole earth flooded, he grew perplexed and fearful. Even as Markandale looked on, the rain pouring down from the clouds filled the ocean more and more until that great sea, its waters violently whipped into terrifying waves of hurricanes, covering up all the earth's islands, mountains, and continents. The water inundated the earth, outer space, heaven, and the celestial region. Indeed, the entire expanse of the universe was flooded in all directions. And out of all its inhabitants, only Markandeya remained. His matted hair scattered, the great sage wandered about alone in the water as if dumb and blind. Tormented by hunger and thirst, attacked by monstrous makaras and timagillafish, and battered by the wind and waves, he moved aimlessly through the infinite darkness into which he had fallen. As he grew increasingly exhausted, he lost all sense of direction and could not tell the sky from the earth. At times he was engulfed by the great whirlpool, sometimes he was beaten by the mighty waves, and other times the aquatic monsters threatened to devour him as they attacked one another. Sometimes he felt lamentation, bewilderment, misery, happiness, or fear, and at other times he experienced such terrible illness and pain that he felt himself dying. Countless millions of years passed as Markandeya wandered about in that deluge, his mind bewildered by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once, while wandering in the water, the Brahmana Markandeya discovered a small island upon which stood a young banyan tree bearing blossoms and fruits. That was actually the translation for 20. I don't think I read it. Upon a branch of the northeast portion of that tree, he saw an infant boy lying within a leaf. The child's effulgence was swallowing up the darkness. The infant's dark blue complexion was the color of a flawless emerald. His lotus face shone with a wealth of beauty, and his throat bore marks like the lines on a conch shell. He had a broad chest, finely shaped nose, beautiful eyebrows, and lovely ears that resembled pomegranate flowers, and that had inner folds like the conch shell spirals. The corners of his eyes were reddish, like the whorl of a lotus, the effulgence of his coral-like lips slightly reddened, the nectarine, enchanting smile on his face. As he breathed, his splendid hair trembled and his deep navel became distorted by the moving folds of skin on his abdomen, which resembled a banyan leaf. The exalted Brahmana watched with amazement as the infant took hold of one of his lotus feet with his graceful fingers, placed the toe within his mouth, and began to suck. As Markandeya beheld the child, all his weariness vanquished. Indeed, so great was his pleasure that the lotus of his heart, along with his lotus eyes, fully blossomed, and the hairs on his body stood on end. Confused as to the identity of the wonderful infant, the sage approached him. Just then, the child inhaled, drawing Markandeya within his body like a mosquito. There the sage found the entire universe arrayed as it had been before its dissolution. Seeing this, Markandeya was most astonished and perplexed. The sage saw the entire universe, the sky, heavens and earth, the stars, mountains, oceans, great islands and continents, the expanses in every direction, the saintly and demonic living beings, the forests, countries, rivers, cities and mines, the agricultural villages, the cow pastures, and the occupational and spiritual activities of the various social divisions. He also saw the basic elements of creation, along with all their byproducts, as well as time itself, which regulates the progression of countless ages within the days of Brahma. In addition, he saw everything else created for use in material life. All this he saw manifested before him as if it were real. He saw before him the Himalaya mountains, the Pushpabhadra River, and his own hermitage, where he had the audience of the sages Nara and Narayana. Then as Markandeya beheld the entire universe, the infant exhaled, expelling the sage from his body and casting him back onto the ocean of dissolution. In that vast sea, he again saw the banyan tree growing on the tiny island and the infant boy lying within the leaf. The child glanced at him from the corner of his eyes with a smile imbued with the nectar of love. And Markandeya took him into his heart through his eyes. Greatly agitated, the sage ran to embrace the transcendental personality of Godhead. At that moment, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original master of all mysticism, who is hidden within everyone's heart, became invisible to the sage, just as the achievements of an incompetent person can subtly vanish. After the Lord disappeared, O Brahmana, the banyan tree, the great water, and the dissolution of the universe all vanished as well. And in an instant, Markandeya found himself back in his own hermitage, just as before. Thus end the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, Markandeya Rishi, seeing the illusory potency of the Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalataya Chakshuramilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Vadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Vakavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Markandeya Rishi Ki Jai. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift, giving Srimad Bhagavatam, and showing the process of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam through Guru Parampara, how the Supreme Lord, Narayana, instructed Narada Muni, Narada Muni instructed through Brahma and Narada Muni to Veda Vyas, and then this. There are many descriptions later on as to how the Vedic literatures were given to these disciples and how they broke it down this way and that way. So, like one day of Brahma is 1,000 cycles of four, you know, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali Yuga. So, we can't even imagine how Kali Yuga is 400 and so many thousands of years. Satya Yuga is 1,800,000, you know, so many millions of years are involved. One day of Brahma is such a tremendously long time, and the end of that tremendous long time, there's a dissolution. This is just one little universe, the Lord Mahavishnu lying in the causal ocean, so many universes emanating from him. And this unique pastime of how just now Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikrit Maharaj and how Parikrit Maharaj left, and there was further inquiry as to, you know, what is the nature, you know, what is the purpose, the goal, how are we to understand that Markandeya lasted 2 days of Brahma, so many hundreds of thousands, millions of years. You know, we definitely can appreciate the frog in the well analogy. You know, our whole life we're sitting in a little well, and life goes on, we're all doing this and that, and thinking many fantastic ideas and broad thoughts beyond our well. And once in a while, visitors come and bring us information of all the activities which are actually going on. And it's almost impossible to believe or understand the complexities of this material existence. But when we boil it all down, we're eternal. Krishna's eternal. And this temporary material world is temporary. Krishna's creating everything. Krishna's created He's expanded himself, created the various universes, created all the material elements, gave us many ways of trying to enjoy. Okay, here's goodness, passion, ignorance. Choose your door number one, door number two. There's always choices. So many choices are there. What would we like to do? How would you like to proceed and go on in life? So the philosophy of controlling the mind, controlling the senses, and making advancement is all described in the various literatures. We're very fortunate and unfortunate. In Kali Yuga, nothing works. Can't control the mind, can't control the senses. We can't stop the activity, but we have to engage the mind and engage the senses in Krishna's service. Like a child, I have a couple grandsons, they're pretty fired up. You can't tell them to stop, stop. They may stop for a second, but they need to keep moving. So give them something positive to do. So Krishna is giving us positive activity, and we could not figure it out. Even though Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, performed various activities, was killing so many so-called kings in the military force of demonic persons. So many battles took place during Krishna's time, if you think about it, the battle with Banasura, so many phalanxes, fights with Lord Shiva, and then Kurukshetra war. There must be at least 20 battles that take place, huge battles, where the demigods come and they see the whole, all this activity going on. And for us, it's very difficult to understand how all these things are taking place. But we have limited knowledge, limited understanding, but because we are eternal, and we don't belong in this material world, Krishna is sending his representatives. Krishna is sending the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, he saved the Vedas from the different demons who wanted to steal the Vedas away. Kali Yuga could not even start progressing while Krishna was here. But after Krishna left, immediately, Kali Yuga started and is described at the various principles of truthfulness, mercy, cleanliness, austerity. As they diminish more and more, the different ages, they have different features. Because there are different living entities who want to live under different circumstances. And Krishna is very liberal, very accommodating. But there is suffering, and Krishna says, from Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartano Arjuna, from the highest planet in this world down to the lowest planet. All are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. So, positively, Krishna has a loving relationship with all his devotees, but he's not dependent, just like Krishna had 16,108 wives, and he expanded himself in such a way that he would be with each and every wife in each and every palace and acting accordingly, but is described that he was not attracted or not attracted, because Krishna is complete, he's self-satisfied, Atmarama. But in order to have exchanges and loving affairs with his devotees, he comes personally and he shows by his example. And then again, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord wanted to see how it is that this incredible relationship, this taste, what is this flavor that Srimati Radharani is experiencing in relationship to Krishna? How is that? So he took on the form of Srimati Radharani in the mood and expressed the love, because Krishna told the gopis, I cannot repay your devotion. There's nothing I have to repay your devotion. You have to simply be satisfied with that service. But there's a certain pleasure, a certain happiness. So that pleasure and that happiness, which everyone is seeking, but in the material world is being sought after in the wrong way. Everyone is thinking that the more money I have, the more famous I am, the more toys I can have, I'll become happy, I'll be satisfied. But everything is taken away. We see that. We see that as old age, disease and death come, everything is taken away. So it's all illusory. It's all like a mirage in the desert. You think you see water around the sea, you see land. These are the verses of Bhagavatam that explain that everything in this world is based on the illusion. Even the demigods are bewildered. The great controllers of the clouds and the rain, Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, we are tiny, tiny insects compared. But we're all living beings, we're all eternal spirit souls, and we belong back in the spiritual kingdom. So all scriptures may have some words about love God, and to love thy neighbor, but they don't show the process, the technique. So the unique facility of Srila Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness movement is that Srila Prabhupada is giving us the ABCs of spiritual life, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Apanadiram. Hearing about Krishna, the more we hear about Krishna's pastimes, remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's glories. So the happiness we're looking for, the doctor is analyzing and seeing the disease and says, okay, you've got to give up these activities and take this medicine. In the morning you take this medicine, in the afternoon you take that medicine, in the evening you take the other medicine, and it's all related. It's all based on surrounding ourselves by hearing about Krishna, because we don't have the same taste as materialists or those who are simply looking for the pleasures of material existence, because there's no happiness. And although we're pursuing the spiritual path, the mind is still thinking, oh, there's some happiness there. Prabhupada was explaining that many times people come and join the society out of sentiment. They think, oh, you know, it's nice, interesting. But if without taking the proper precautionary measures of hearing, chanting, and good association, what is Lord Chaitanya's message when asked, that what is our first business? Asat sanga tyag avaishnavachar. That we should avoid the association of those who are materialists, who are simply, their whole life is dedicated to sense gratification. They don't have the understanding. All the philosophers, all the books, the libraries full of so many books, they're all talking about gramya kata, you know, political, social, village talk. But we're interested in Bhagavad Gita, hearing about Markandeya, his sacrifice, his devotion, his appreciation of the Lord, and how although he's going millions and millions upon millions of years in struggle and suffering, we can't even imagine it, or how he's living such a capacity of life. But you think he's meditating in such a way that in his mind he's offering constant puja to the Lord. He's constantly remembering and seeing the Lord. So the time is just going by. He's fixed. So we have tools. Srila Prabhupada is very scientific, systematic. The whole Guru Parampara, it seems like it's coming now, the flower of the lotus. The ISKCON Society is composed of members who are seriously wanting to hear about Krishna, who are seriously wanting to protect themselves, their devotional creeper, by avoiding the nonsense distractions of materialistic life, and dedicating the body, the mind, and words for the service of Krishna. Now we're hearing that you'll be going preaching, traveling preaching. Something we should do. And if we're simply, people often ask, I've said this many times in class, well, what service do you have for me? What should I do? But our service is already there. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear and associate with the Mahabhagavatas. Sanatana and Rupa Goswami were running the entire government of Hussein Shah while he, as a king, a prince, was conquering and enjoying the kingly delights. And when Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami said, oh, we want to surrender now, we've rendered so much service, we want to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, you can't. How you can even think about quitting my service? So, sense gratifiers, if you are interrupting or interfering with them in any capacity, they'll take extreme measures, even to the point of killing. But somehow, Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, who were very busy in all kinds of activities, what did they resort to? Having brahmanas reading Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the Lord's pastimes, trying to understand the process of surrender. How can I surrender to the Lord? People consider me a great scholar, but I'm such a fool, I don't even know who I am. So it's not in this Kali Yuga in particular that by karma, meditation, yoga, or strict study of the scripture that one will reveal or understand the absolute truth or science of God. But that secret is hidden in the heart of the pure devotees. And if one renders service to the pure devotee, just like Narada Muni was serving all those Mahabhagavat during the rainy season, can't move around much, a lot of rain. And so they sat for 3-4 months talking Bhagavad Gita, and he's humbly, just a simple, Narada Muni is giving his own background. I come from a maidservant, a very low life, you know, just like many of us come from Shudra, Chandala, Malecha families. We're not coming in Brahmana families like we heard yesterday or the day before, that how Prabhupada, I think Shesha Prabhu was mentioning that about Gaur Mohan Day, that Prabhupada was born in a family of pure devotees. And his whole life was given that way for glorifying the Lord and chanting and preparing for this mission of Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni explained that by this humble service to the Mahabhagavatas and by their permission, they were pleased by his humble attitude. No one likes someone who's very aggressively antagonistic or fault-finding, or simply wants to sit and talk about others' faults. This is like the crow mentality, or, you know, they go to the garbage. Whereas the swans and those who are interested in the lotus flower and the nectar, they keep that kind of association. So Narada Muni was blessed by the great sages that in the very next life he became the great Narada Muni. And this is the blessing of the spiritual master. So if we serve Srila Prabhupada, we're getting the blessing of the whole Guru Parampara. We're getting the blessings of the potent Srimad Bhagavatam. All these literatures are an incarnation of God. When the sages were seeing that, Krishna, you're leaving now, who will protect religious principles? How will we carry on? No, I manifest again in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So many, they worship, they carry Bhagavatam on their head, and they have procession, and offer puja, because this is Krishna. Krishna is non-different than the books. Krishna is non-different than his name. Krishna is non-different than his deity form. And especially he's present in his dham. Sri Vrindavan dham. Sri Mayapur dham. Jagannath Puri dham. So many dhams are there. New Raman Repi dham. He's present here. New Raman Repi dham. But due to our inability to muster up the strength, sometimes we need to put ourselves in a situation where we're moved along. Because sometimes we go to Ichitakim, and I might not be a great swimmer, but all you got to do is float in the river. You flow downstream by the force of the current. You know, just kind of. So there's a certain special potency that, although the potency is everywhere, but we don't have the transcendental vision to see it. Markandeya was seeing so many wonderful things. He saw all the variegated illusory energy, all the descriptions were there. And then with the moment, he was back again where he was, and it all seemed to go by in a flash. So our life is like that, passing by in a flash. Very quickly, we're leaving this world. 10, 20, 50 years, maximum around 100 years, especially in Kali Yuga, it's getting like that. And we see many friends, you know, the external bag and body that we're carrying around, which is an instrument, a vehicle, a very valuable vehicle, is deteriorating, and again it'll become, you know, worms and dust into the fire to be burnt, because after spirit soul leaves, it becomes very useless and smelly. The heat of the fire burns, and the body becomes like cold, ice cold. It's finished. So we want to hear from this great sages, from Bhagavatam, but it's very important that we also become enthusiastic, utsahan, nischayat daryat, tattat karma pavartana. Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Because with enthusiasm, it attracts. When Srila Prabhupada would come off the airplane, devotees would be jumping and screaming and chanting and dancing. It's due to his carrying the message of Godhead, due to being a representative of Guru Parampara, not wanting anything, not that Srila Prabhupada, oh, I want that money that was being donated from North Africa, I'm not going to give it to BBT. That was a very good pastime. That how the sadhus, they get $1 million, they spend $1 million, and they're still in the poorhouse. The next day again, they're out begging. So we are beggars on behalf of Krishna. But this is just a material sense. Actually, we're givers. We're givers of the highest truth, the highest knowledge. And we simplified it. It's just like a very complex mathematical calculation explained by an expert in such a way that he makes it easily understandable. So although spiritual life is ultra complex, and it seems beyond our grasp or ability to control the mind and senses or to live in this Kali Yuga and make progress, still, despite all bad qualities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling great compassion and love, came to give us the highest gift in the form of the holy name, chanting Krishna's holy name. So somehow or other, he admittedly said, Nam nama kari bahudani jasarva shakti tatrarpita niyamita smaranina kala atadrishti tavakripa bhagavan mamapi turdaivam idrisham hajani nanuraga. They do have so many names, Krishna, Govinda, Rama, so many names are there. And you can get all perfection, achieve all perfection by these holy names, but I'm so unfortunate, I have no taste for the holy name. So we have to, even we don't have a taste, we know that we don't like the bitter medicine, but still we have faith in the doctor, we have faith in Srila Prabhupada, we have faith in the medicine that we've heard about, the potency of the medicine, just like Rukmini never saw Krishna, but she heard of his beauty and glories, and she immediately says, please, come save me. I want you as my husband. So even without seeing, she had that faith. So hearing is very important. By hearing about Krishna, about the spiritual kingdom, about the temporary nature of material life, and by having enough faith to take the medicine of chanting the holy name of Krishna and repeatedly hearing the Bhagavad Katha. Prabhupada was sometimes criticized that, oh, he was speaking many times the same thing, and he would admit, he said, many times I've said
I've repeated this, but this is the nature of repetition. Just like practice makes perfect. Some people are naturally talented musicians, this and that. Some people have to work hard by, you know, practice and study and austerity. So we may think that some people are naturally spiritually inclined and others have to work a little harder. That may be due to one's karma or, you know, that one has a special blessing. But whatever it is, practice makes perfect. So we have to practice this art of bhakti yoga. And we're totally confident. It's like, we don't have to hesitate to think, well, am I following the right road? You know, when you're lost, your Google's not working, or you don't understand what they're trying to get you to do. Sometimes I've taken a few motorcycle trips, so I had the Google Navigator taking me through Noida and all the side streets. This doesn't look right, but she's telling me, no, left here, and around the circle, second right, and okay, I'm kind of blindly following. Wow, it worked, you know? It's like I felt a little bit lost on my bike because India, not everything is very systematic and organized. The streets end up this way, that way, and then whatever. But somehow or other, I have enough faith, and I follow the instructions, and it actually got me in the right path, the right direction. So whether or not we're feeling or this is something I can or cannot do, don't lose your enthusiasm. Don't lose the drive. And by coming to the Holy Dham, it does add a charge to your battery. So I always want to have a little political announcement here to invite devotees. But when you're there, just see the deities. Chant for the deities. Hear the pastimes. And just appreciate the vibration of the spiritual kingdom. Because it's more prominent. It's more... Everything is more prominent there. The loudspeakers are more prominent. The horns are more prominent. People in your face are more prominent. That's okay. So you stay at the mandir and chant the holy name. We have one lifetime. This one lifetime, Kali Yuga, we're at the right place at the right time. You know, so many multi-level marketing opportunities, ground floor opportunity. We have a really, really good opportunity to take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. We have a really good opportunity to do something practical to show Srila Prabhupada. We appreciate all he's done for us, all his, you know, the austerities and sacrifices that he made in order for us to have some idea of what is the truth, what is the goal in life. So anyway, this is something very spectacular. I sometimes, when I'm reading Bhagavatam, right now I'm reading a Krishna book, and such beautiful, wonderful stories, but so many nice prayers, and so much loving exchange, and many lessons, so many lessons. Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of lessons on etiquette, proper mentality, proper behavior. And sometimes, from our standpoint, we may not understand a situation, or how is this even possible? I'm just a frog in the well. What do I know? You know, what do we really know? What do we know about the reality of what goes beyond this earthly planet, our sky? At nighttime, especially in the Himalayas, you see the stars are everywhere. So there's planets, and there's living entities, and there's activities going on since time immemorial throughout this universe, throughout millions and billions and trillions of universes. So we should see our humble, simple position and just take shelter of Krishna and utilize this human form of life for that purpose. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Markandeya Rishi ki. We have other sutra.
I think of a couple of, you know, this occasion where Markandeya wanted to know more about the illusory energy, and also it was a time when Narada too had that question. So why do you think that is? Just because they want to know everything about Krishna, or is it mainly to reveal to us how it works?
Need to know what to look out for, you know? Yeah, why do people want to know about the Lord's illusory energy? What's so intriguing? Is it for us? Yes, it's the whole Bhagavatam is a lesson. It's for us. But anything related to Krishna, devotees want to hear about that also. Maya is also Krishna's representative. And how is it that Krishna is producing an energy which is creating all the elements, giving bodies and giving facility for living entities in this material world to live their illusion? So the pure devotee is amazed by this and also appreciates it in relationship to Krishna, that this is Krishna's divine potency. You know, how is it? Mayadya chena prakriti suyate sa charat charam. This material energy of mine consisting, it's under my direction. So I see it like that the devotees, pure devotees, those who are, although they don't, are fully satisfied by having Krishna's darshan, and fully satisfied where they're at, but still out of curiosity, want to see, just like, I think when Dhruva was going back in his airplane, he got the chance to see so much of the Lord's potency and opulences. So Krishna's the supreme opulent, the supreme mystic, and then his pastimes are intriguing. This is one of his pastimes as well, to provide for all of us that, you know, ultimately the end result is that we should see how this maya, this illusion, is keeping the whole show going on. And those who are very lucky, Brahmanda Brahmete Kona Bhagyavan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lapati, they get the mercy of Krishna and Guru and are awakened from the illusory energy and help to gradually extricate themselves. So I think that knowing more about the Lord's energy and how it's all manifest and how it's all developed and whatnot, it'll help us also ultimately to take shelter of his lotus feet. Yes, Martha.
I wanted to ask you, what helps you being in the Holy Dham and not seeing it as some material place? Because certainly there's certain aspects of the India factor of the honking or this or that or the pollution or the uncleanliness or whatever, but what helps you? Or is it natural for you?
No, not necessarily natural for me, but I found that Krishna gave us some special tool, which is the chanting the holy name of the Lord. Just like Ayendra Prabhu was very enthusiastic and wanted everyone to be together, chanting together. That potency and the excitement, that energy of together sitting in front of the deities, Krishna Balaram, and everybody participating and with enthusiasm and drive, that reassures your confidence as well, but also gives you great happiness and great pleasure. So I have something to look forward to that, okay, I got management here, management there, this one, that one, but I can't take anything too seriously on the management side. I don't want to say not seriously. I mean, everything, you know, your husband's a manager, so although sometimes difficulties and challenges come, not sometimes, all the time they come, but we know that in a battlefield, there's all kinds of battles and shortcomings and fatalities and wounded, this, that, and everything else. But I feel that Krishna's providing a service for us. So I'm trying to appreciate Srila Prabhupada giving us the holy dham, giving us the temple, give us the holy name. And I feel that it's our duty to carry out the help Srila Prabhupada in his mission. So one sense of duty, sense of responsibility, and having the opportunity to sit in the kirtan, and you know, we're pretty much hearing from so many nice devotees from around the world as well. So there are a lot of upsides. The downsides are there, just like Markandeya wanted to see the illusory energy. So you have to see all the horns and the people and the chaos as an impetus to take more shelter of the holy name and the Bhagavatam and do your duty nicely to the best of your ability.
Oh, I'd like to thank you, Prabhu, for being such a fine example of a grihastha couple, you and your wife, and more so taking on the headache that you've taken on of being the president of Vrindavan. Thank you.
Well, we feel fortunate to have that opportunity. Sometimes we have to, many people have to, I say, have boundaries. You know how it is that you need some time for your hearing, your chanting. But we should not throw the baby out with the bathwater. That, you know, that there's so many good excuses. You know, even when I'm here in Lancaster, I feel I should be going to a program. I'm trying to study Hindi. I'm trying to do my morning management and then do, you know, some reading about them and chanting during the day, whatnot. So many things. So we do have, and even when I'm in Vrindavan, we tell all the HODs, the heads of departments and our management team, you know, everyone must attend the class. Everyone should come to the program. Why they're all coming for prasadam, they're not coming, you know, so we have this dilemma as well everywhere. Sometimes we get too much in our comfort zone and maybe barricade ourselves a little too far. But there is a balance, you know, we need to really balance ourselves. But the important thing, do participate, you know, and do follow what Prabhupada, we all know by hearing the books from Srila Prabhupada what he wanted, and he always said, oh, where's so-and-so? Well, why is he not in class? Oh, Prabhupada, he's there. No, it's not the time for doing that. He should be here in class. So we need to make sure we uphold Srila Prabhupada's strictness, but also his love and enthusiasm, which keeps the devotees nourished and happy. But thank you for your glorification.
Thank you. Also, thank you for reviewing the chapter. It really shows, it gives us a perspective on the trials and tribulations that we experience in our puny little life. But sometimes still, in our puny little life, we're experiencing such trials and tribulations that we just want liberation. We can't take anymore. How do we make an adjustment in our mind? Because I know it's not to pray for a change on the outside. You know, that's... But how can we embrace it as Krishna's mercy when we don't want any more? You get it?
Yeah, the struggle. Look at... Markandeya was already met. Narayan Rishi was already, you know, performed austerities, already... a very exalted high platform, and he suffered thirst and fear and lamentation and for millions of, you know, so he's trying to figure out, how is this happening? How are the Pandavas suffering? How are the Kuntis suffering? How is Srila Prabhupada suffering? Ocean journey, heart attacks, and having to tolerate all the malechas, you know? How can you tolerate this? We have to learn to tolerate. It's part of our purification, part of our the burning, you have to burn out. Like sometimes they have a wound of some sort and it's getting infected. You put the hot steel on it and burn it to pieces. There's even more pain, but after the more pain is finished, then you're okay. Because the infection won't spread any further. So sometimes Krishna's making sure that we really get it, that life's miserable, that we should take shelter. And we think we're taking shelter, but we need to take a little bit more shelter maybe.
Mm. Now that I'm thinking about it with what you're saying, you know that pastime we just read about the debt. Prabhupada wanted to keep, Bhakti Siddhanta always kept his disciples in debt, so they would keep, so this debt is like always, we don't want to be free from debt, from the debt of this kind of little suffering in this material world, because it'll keep us crying out and feeling helpless and knowing what that feeling is and what it should be and who we should be reposing that feeling toward. Is that right?
It is.
You know, to always to be grateful, okay.
But when things are too good, we think, who needs God? You know, we think, God.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Let the beggars beg to God. You know, I can buy my own bread factory. You know.
Uh-huh. And if someone comes along and just relieves our suffering, then we'll just be complacent.
Yes, there's always something. You know, I'm always amazed that something always seems to come up. It's like in Vrindavan, whether it's this or that, and something's always miraculously coming to help us to surrender. More surrender is required. But we just never give up the hearing and chanting and the association of devotees. If we keep that as our fixed principle that I'm going to continuously hear and chant, suffering will be there. I can't stop that. But somehow I want to continue while I have any strength and ability to do so to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Bhagavatam ki jai. Hari Bhagavatam.